Part of mindfulness practice is exploring the relationship between awareness and our life, awareness and our experience. And that's a relationship that shifts and changes in different circumstances. And to be interested, what is that relationship? Many times in our life we're quite caught up in concerns and ideas and events and experiences. And there's not much awareness. But when we do become aware, when we know that what's happening, how are we aware? What are some of the qualities of being aware? And what's the relationship between awareness and what we're experiencing? At the beginning of a retreat here, we often start with mindfulness of breathing, partly because breathing is a place to stabilize the mind, steady the mind in the present moment. Coming back to the simple rhythm of breathing in and out is a very significant activity to do. Come back, begin again. Don't be lost in thought. Wake up with this breath, and then steadying oneself on the breath. At some point, the experiences of the body become more predominant, more compelling. And then rather than struggling with trying to stay with the breathing, whereas the body is wanting attention, asking for attention, you can let go of breathing and bring awareness to the experiences of your body. The body is one of the important meditation halls, temples for practice. Your experience of your body is not incidental or distraction or detour from the real practice. The body is really the home of practice. And then how are we aware of the body? What's the relationship between awareness and the body? When does awareness help us be intimate with the body, our physical experience? And when does awareness help us to be independent of whatever is happening? So we're not entangled with it or reactive to it. How do we use awareness? Sometimes people will be pushing, probing, straining to be aware. Other times people are reluctant and pulled back, recoiling. What is awareness like? And what are the ways of being aware of the body? So I'd like to guide you through a little exercise. Some of you have done this before, but I think it's always a new discovery. An exercise that explores the ways that might be possible to be aware of your body, bodily experiences. So as you're sitting here, bring your attention, your awareness, into your right hand. And take a few moments to feel the sensations of your right hand. palm of the hand. The back of the hand. The fingers. And perhaps there's sensations of coolness and warmth. Pressure, heaviness, lightness. Hardness and softness. Pulsing, tingling, vibration. Let yourself be aware of the sensations of your right hand, and as you do so, notice how you're aware. Are you aware with reluctance or with eagerness? Are you aware from the control tower in the head, kind of thinking about it? Or are you sensing it? With the sensations being sensed and felt in the hand itself. Does awareness feel removed from the sensations, observing them? Or is it more like awareness and sensations are almost the same, where the sensing arises with the sensations? As you feel the sensations of your right hand, can you just allow them to be as they are without any interpretations or comments or ideas? Kind of like free-floating sensations that arise and pass. Allowing the hands, sensations of the hand to be just as they are. No need for them to be different. But letting those sensations come into awareness as if they have permission to be present in your awareness. And now bring your awareness to some sensation in your body that feels uncomfortable. And let your awareness be in that area of the body where the discomfort is, in the same way that you allowed your awareness to be in the hand. Or if your awareness is different now, how is it different? Has the awareness gotten more constricted or resistant? More impatient? More worried? Or might it be possible to relax and let awareness just explore and feel area of discomfort in the same way that you felt the hand. Not focusing on thoughts and reactions to it, but being interested to be right there, to sense the sensations, to allow them to be there just as they are, as if they have permission to be there, it's okay. Are there judgments or commentary or evaluations about any of this that interferes with simple awareness of an area of discomfort? And as you're aware of this area, what happens to the sensations? Do they shift or change? Get stronger or weaker? And now bring your awareness to the area of your body where you usually experience breathing. And similar to how you're aware of the sensations of your hand, become aware of the sensations that are in the area where you usually feel breathing. Notice how you're aware. Has the nature of your awareness shifted from the other two places? Is there any tightening or straining or is there any letting up or relaxing or relying on old habits of being aware? And if you allow the awareness of the breathing to be one of the sensations connected to breathing, the shifting and changing sensations, noticing those change, noticing how the changing sensations ripple through the field of awareness. Physical experience of breathing in is a different experience, different sensations than that of exhaling. Does awareness of breathing feel steady, or does it feel unsteady? If you're involved in thoughts, see if you can simply let go of your thoughts, and in letting go of them, letting go into the experience of your body breathing. Gently, lovingly steadying yourself on breathing, letting your awareness grow or expand or settle on breathing. But if some other sensation arises in the body that's more compelling than experience of breathing, and you can let go of your breathing and settle your awareness on this other sensations of your body, so that becomes a locus, that becomes the place of practice, the place where awareness meets experience, where awareness steadies itself on experience. And when the body sensations are no longer compelling, you can return to your breathing. How is your awareness now? In what way are you being aware? What is the relationship between your awareness and your experience? So our bodies are great support for the practice of mindfulness, for awareness. One way is that our bodies are always in the present moment, but our minds can sometimes seldom be in the present moment. thinking about the past, the future, fantasy, all kinds of things. And if we want to harmonize our body and mind so that they're in the same place at the same time, then it's a task to let the mind be with the body. It's a little hard to take your body to the past or the future. But the idea is to have the body and mind in harmony, working together, kind of in the same place at the same time. It's very precious. It's very helpful. The world is it's richer, fuller. The world of the mind is often a virtual reality world. And the virtual world is here, experienced through the body. And I know that the body can be uncomfortable. It's an unretreat sometimes. But it can also be comfortable. It can be nice sensations that arise. When the sensations arise strongly, and they're more compelling than being with your breathing, then mindfulness involves being mindful of those. And that can help you see more clearly what's going on with the sensations. It can also help you to not be reactive to what's happening, but to have a non-reactive awareness that doesn't judge or criticize or try to fix what's there. But just kind of this wonderful art of just being present, and in the very presence that we offer it, finding some ability to be maybe calm or equanimous or open, at ease with what is, at ease with the awareness. The awareness holds it spaciously. And it's an experimentation, it's a process of discovery. One of the ways of getting tripped up in practicing is to have some idea that there's a right way to do it and a right kind of experience. When I was younger in my practice, I had a policy that I lived with, or a kind of understanding that I lived with, and that was whatever experience I was having was not the right one. That was, worked pretty well. It was so comprehensive, it included everything. So there was always this little dissatisfaction or unease or feeling it's not quite right, I'm not quite right, it's supposed to be a little different. It wasn't as strong, but it took me a while to even see that it was there because it was so subtle in the background. This attitude that, it's not, just a belief, just underlying belief. It wasn't like I had to do the belief. It was just like it was in the fabric of awareness almost. Nothing was ever quite right. So I could never quite settle on what the experience was. I couldn't just be with something in a simple way because there's always some feelings. It's not quite it. Not quite right. And so the experimentation with mindfulness, the kind of exploring, discovering, what is it like to be aware? What's it like to be aware where we become aware of these attitudes? What's it like to be aware where there are no attitudes? It's just simple awareness of phenomena, where what's happening is allowed to be the way it is. It doesn't have to be the right experience or the wrong experience. It just is the experience. And just be with it. So to experiment and find that in the body. So if there are strong sensations in the body, it's useful to get to know them, to study them, be mindful of them. It's useful to discover how we relate to them, our attitude towards them. See if the attitude of awareness can be simple, just be present with it. It's a way of being grounded here in the present moment. It's a way of being continuous with the mindfulness. Some people find it helpful to use what's called mental noting. Some people really don't like mental noting, so it's fine. But as I said earlier, the mental noting is a way of giving the thinking mind something very simple and innocent to do, so it's less likely to kind of spin off in thoughts and analysis and whatever it does. And so if there's a the knee hurts, you can just say pain, or pulling, or stabbing, pressure, burning, whatever it might be. And sometimes that mental note can help you stay simple, just really simple, just this. And also the mental noting sometimes can indicate to you what your attitude is. Because if you find yourself saying, pain, I think there's a little extra involved. And if you just kind of pain, just simple, it's a little easier. And also it's a kind of an encouragement, kind of like a little cheerleader that says, stay right there, just experience it, be with it. Very subtle, quiet little thing in the mind. And as I said earlier, yesterday, I think if you don't like doing mental noting, you don't have to do it by any means. But sometimes the alternative is less desirable. If the alternative is actually to kind of drift effortlessly off into thoughts and drift off and spend a few hours thinking about something, it seems so effortless. And that seems, whereas mental noting seems like it's too much effort, it can't be right, it's just agitating me. But actually it's keeping you present. And so it's keeping you kind of grounded or kind of helpful to stay. And so over time you learn how to do the mental noting very, very soft, and eventually kind of just disappears almost, as it almost becomes, kind of fades into just clear awareness, just this, what is here. So the body is a locus for practice, and it's that here when we meditate, sitting, when we do walking meditation, when you do your Sangha service job, your work meditation, and take a shower and go to the bathroom, walking up and down the stairs, taking the elevator, whatever you're doing, stay close to your body. Let your body show you the path of practice. Let it, your body kind of, if you stay close and connected to your physical experience, so much of the Dharma, so much of the experience of practice will unfold for you and reveal itself. And in the end, you discover that the body is awareness. And it's not so much that we become aware of the body, but it becomes awareness. As a Zen master Dogen said, mindfulness of the body is the body's mindfulness. And what is it to be mindful through the body, with the body? So a couple of announcements for today. One is that today's a day that we start our practice discussion. So Paul and I will meet with you and meet with half of you today and half of you tomorrow as you signed up on those sheets. And Paul is people in room one, which is the room right next to the manager's office, kind of just off the main room downstairs. We had our opening meeting, the community room. And I'll meet people in room 100, which is, if you go behind to the right, kind of counterclockwise behind the manager's office, all the way around, and there's signs on the wall, past the elevator and to the left, there's a room 100 there. And it is useful when you're here to conserve water, and so if you can take short showers, that's greatly appreciate it. It's one of the great uses of water here is the showers. And then we have this, when we had the drought in the 1970s, we had the saying, if it's yellow, it's mellow, and if it's brown, flush it down. So if you just pee in it, in the toilet, you can let it be. If it's poop, you can flush it. We don't have to save it, water that hard. And what else? And the last thing I'll say is express my appreciation for all of you. It's wonderful to be here with you and experience your practice and your engagement with all this and the way you're managing and doing your work and your service, Sangha service jobs and showing up for the sittings. It's a wonderful thing. And I certainly have tremendous appreciation and appreciate doing this together with all of you. Thank you.